the program What the Bible Says. Will you folks out there in radio land write in and send a little money, please?
Take a nap now. I didn't sleep that evening. I don't know how you could after hearing a message like that on those three worlds. I'd read about the first world and I'm experiencing the second one, and I was looking forward to the third one. But I tell you, no wonder I couldn't sleep. I'm glad you folks are here. You look to me like you need some preaching to. I'd like to make mention about some tracts and books back there. You can't be a big-time evangelist until you write a few books and you write a few tracts and you go to the Holy Land. Now, the Holy Land is not over where you think about. That's a Bible land. Over in Jerusalem and Jordan and that area, that's Bible land. The Holy Land is over here in Kentucky. But I'm a Hoosier. I spent most of my life in the Hoosier land. Been in Annapolis. I've been in Annapolis 50 years, and 25 years of this time on a daily basis I've been on radio. You wonder how in the world a clumsy preacher like me could stay on that long. Well, people can't see you when on the radio.
Amen.
And the individuals don't support you, but the churches do, and the preachers love me, and they say I preach so different that I can, it don't interfere with what they're doing. So that's why I'm on. We have gospel tracts, some back there at the table, that was written 30 years ago. And they're still going out. People ask about them and they get saved. And I still write sermons and tracts. And I love it. We have on cassette tape back there some one on hell. It's real hot. Just put one message on that one. That's all that tape would take. And on the next one is hungry and thirsty on one side and What the Bible Says on the other. What the Bible Says is the name of our radio program. And our theme song is There's a Fountain Filled with Blood. Has been all these years. One of my modernist friends came to me once and said, I don't like that theme song, says it's offending people. And they're still doing that. He said he's going to have it changed, but I told him since I was the president of that corporation, we wouldn't change it. The next one that's back there that's available, the door was shut on one side and there was a great calm. I thought I'd mention this. After you hear me preach, you want to buy all of them. Take them out and bury them somewhere, I imagine. This has been a good week, and I tell you, preaching has been so good, I hope I don't interfere with it any today. Last night, I wanted to shout, really. First time. I've been a Baptist so long, it's hard for me to shout. But I wanted to, and the pimples came out on me. But you know what? They went in on me. So I couldn't shout. I have some sermons that's on paper. not on tape, they're on paper. And I was trying to think of them real hurriedly, and I don't know if I can or not. One of them is long hair, men with long hair in the Bible. Some of you don't know people had long hair in the Bible, but they did. And there was two men that did. It's the only two that I know of that's recorded. And if you read that sermon, it'll tell you what happened to them. And then I have a sermon that I sent out on radio. Can a mother go to heaven that refuses to nurse her own baby? Boy, that's a hot one. I have a track back there on Just a Housewife. Also have one on how to win your husband to the Lord. That's a great track. Right now we're out of those. But we do send them out on radio all the time. We have other tracks. Have one, the prettiest one back there is the one with my picture on it. And I have some others. But this was made back when I was young and pretty. That's when my wife married me. She thought I was going to stay that way forever. I love to go where there's preaching. I love to go where there's people. I love people. I never learned how to get along with all people. In fact, most people I don't get along with too good. I don't know why. Some people say it's my preaching. Others say it's my way I act. But I always thought I was nice. I do. I'm a loving soul. I'm honest about that. I'm not joking. I love people. I love children. I love old people. I see some people I like to smack in the face, but but I love them. I really do. A few times when I get mad, I think, man, I wish I was something else beside people. There's times when I wish I was a bullfrog. But since I'm not, I'll just go on and be what I am. The Lord saved me and called me to preach a number of years ago. I've had a good ministry. I could die right now. And all this preachers preaching over the country and people, churches and here and there that would save my ministry, and that encouraged me. When you get old and ugly like now, people don't want to come to your church, and one that come there says, we need a young preacher here. Okay, I said, let's try to get one. Okay, I said, I heard a fellow say one time that he asked a person that's talking about new blood in the church, new blood in the business, new blood in politics, and we get it in, but it acts like the old blood after we get in there, don't it? Yeah. I asked a lady one time, I said, if you never flew overseas, and this was your first time you're going to go, and you have two choices, two pilots. One is just out of school. He knows everything, but he hasn't had any experience. Here's an old man, and he's about ready to retire, but he's made many trips overboard and underboard and in the clouds and what have you. Now, I said, you had a choice about which one of these fellows is going to fly you over today? Fella, for his first time, and this man is about ready to retire. I said, which one would you choose? Oh, she said, I believe I'd take that fella to where I've been going. And, okay, let that be a lesson to you. One of my preacher friends told me one day, he says, you're the hardest fellow I ever saw to follow. You know, and it's customary if you're bright and been to school a little bit, when the preacher goes to preach, if he's a big-time fellow, you get out your pencil and paper and you're going to take notes, you know. This fellow told me after, he says, you know, you're the hardest fellow to follow I ever saw. He said, I can't hardly get your outline. I said, cheer up, sir. I can't hardly get it myself. I've had the privilege of traveling around the world two different times, not just on a tour like you fellas go with a bunch of folks, but individually. Went by myself into many, many countries around the world and went home with the missionary and preached with him and lived with him. You learn missions that way. Just to go over to the Holy Land and go over to some of those places where the Nile Hilton Hotel in Jerusalem is as nice as anything in the country here. So you go over and stay there, you don't learn too much about missions. But if you get back in Pakistan and Ethiopia in some places, you'll find out something about it. And you'll learn about what the missionaries are doing. And I had some great experiences. I wouldn't do it again, I'd be scared to death. But I had some wonderful experiences. I was asked to speak in Tokyo, Japan, at the university there. Everybody was educated there but me. And the shoes didn't fit me, so I had to preach barefooted. And but nevertheless, I started preaching all hard as I could, and all of a sudden I made a statement, and the fellow just stopped and looked at me. He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I made a statement that we had started a church back in America from scratch, and he didn't know what scratch meant. He thought that meme was a chicken scratching or something, you know. So I said, "We started from the beginning." He said, "I know what that is." So he went ahead and told him, "I started from the beginning." So sometimes you need interpreters. I spoke in Madras, India, when we had three interpreters at the same time. Now, if you think my preaching is bad just without any interpreter, Brother Fred's back here interpreting for me. But you just think if you got three guys around here saying, all the time you're trying to preach, that's a lot of interference, you know that? That's it. I'd rather look at you folks and preach. I'm preaching on a sermon today that you may want to outline of. Beagle Hound Religion. I'm reading some scripture from Romans chapter 12 and also from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This may not have anything to do with the subject, I don't know. Many times in my ministry, I got myself some of the best sermons, especially at night when I was trying to sleep. Them sermons just worry me. I was trying to get them to going. And the next morning, I get up and I couldn't find no scripture at all to go with them. So being a Bible-believing, fundamental, hard-headed, separated, Bible-believing Baptist, well, I preach what the Bible says. And I believe what the Bible says. I really do. I don't understand it all. I don't understand all about them worlds, but boy, I'm sure enjoying about it. And when I get to that finished world, it will make no difference whether I had money or whether I had friends or what I had down here. It'll be what I'll be enjoying then. Glory to God. Okay, since you're awake, I'll read to you. Chapter 12 of Romans says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, let me give you a little outline on that. I'm not going to preach about it, but since you only get one time to preach, you got to get everything you got in one time. You notice it's talking to the brethren, and it also makes mention of mercy of God. Brother, you and I are here today because of the mercy of God. You know that? Some of my old buddies are gone. I had a fine young boy that I used to run around with and like, but he died at an early age, and he's gone. I don't think he was saved either. But somehow or another, God allowed me to stay here. So I'm here by the mercy of God today, able to preach. Went through some testings here and there physically, but still able to carry on a daily broadcast, preach at the church when they can't get a good preacher. Yes, sir. Mercies of God that I'm here. And then the next point, you'd see that you present your bodies. You see, that's what we have to move around in, is our bodies. Isn't that great? My doctor says to me, "Come over and bring your body." He said that about every time I talk to him. I said, "Listen, doc, If I'd come over someday and didn't bring that body, you'd be in a trouble. And that's his wife. So every time I go over there, I take my body along. Yeah, okay. But this body, you notice what? It says, body, a living sacrifice. Now, you can't sacrifice something that's dead, can you? This would do us good if we didn't get nothing else out of this message today than this, that your body, living body, it's a living body. That's why you're here. If you're dead, we take you off and bury you. But you're living in the body, and you ought to sacrifice it for the Lord. Yes, sir. All right. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do you know it's not unreasonable to serve God? Why it's so hard for so many people to serve the Lord is because they're trying to do something they ain't or can't. Don't have anything to do it with. But if I understand the scriptures correctly, and I read it every day, and for 27 years I read the Bible through every year, and I studied it every day, and I've learned a few things about the Bible. I tell you what, when the Holy Spirit lives in our heart and in our life, there's something there that keeps agging us on, as Brother Fred's always saying. The people may not ag you on, but the Holy Spirit that lives in you will ag you on. He'll keep telling you that you ought to be doing things. Now, that had nothing to do with my sermon. Now, I'm going to start on my sermon. I want to show you something about a beagle hound. A beagle hound, things about a beagle hound that Christians should have and do. Did you know you can learn some of the best things from little simple illustrations? Did you know that if Jesus was here today, he'd probably preach just like he did to the people there, talk about the sower, the people that knew about the ground, plow up the ground and sow the seed, and the seed would fall on good ground, and some would fall on hard ground, and some fall on thorny ground. Everybody could understand that. Some preachers and some sermons are so hard that when it's through, people said, that was good. I said, what did they say? I don't know. Yeah. But I like to preach something that's simple because I'm a simple man, and I like to understand when a fellow says something, I like to understand what he said. Just last week, a man came to my office, and he said, I want to tell you something. Boy, he brought it to the right day because I sort of said, you know, some days everything's against you. So he come in and he said, I want to tell you something. My little six-year-old boy heard you on the radio this week, and he said, Dad, he says, you know one thing about Brother Page's preaching? Says, I understand when he gets through what he's talking about. Well, I thought, great, praise God. Boy, that's a compliment, you know that? People don't understand what you're talking about. So, you're going to understand what the sermon's about. Listen to this. Things about a beagle hound that Christians should have and do. Number one, a beagle hound is always ready to run. You know that? Any of you folks ever have any dealings with a beagle hound? You keep him tied out there, and when you even start toward him like you're going to untie him and take him out hunting, boy, he gets excited before you untie him, don't he? Yeah, he really does. He just thinks, boy, I'm going to get a go down in that briar patch, and I'm going to chase a rabbit. Yes, sir. So wouldn't that be good if you and I, saved people, we had that idea? We had that understanding? I'm going to go to Sand Mountain. And he said, everybody goes down there to say, I don't know, hope so. But sometimes other fellas come in, don't they? All right, a beagle hound is always ready to run. That's, you're not going to do much if you're not ready. You ever go someplace to meet somebody and the time is getting pretty scarce, you know, and the fellow's not ready and you have to sit out there and wait on it? Men could make a record about how many things they've said about their wives that had to wait on them when they get ready to go. Okay, so the beagle hound, nobody has to wait on him. He's ready to run. Okay, beagle hound wants to run. Don't you like for people to do something that want to do it? Now, Brother Page, here's some money. I hate to have to give it to you, but take it and put it on radio. I said, take it back. Yeah, I want people to give it, want to, don't you? Amen. God wants people to serve him that wants to. You're saved, you're going to go to heaven, and you're going to look and follow that third world. Bless God, there ought to be something in you that makes you want to go. And I think it is, if you have anything. I think a lot of folks are lost and don't know it. That's what preaching. Preaching don't make anybody lost. It just makes people realize they are lost. And preaching don't get anybody saved either. The preaching is what puts you under conviction, and the Holy Spirit has to get you saved. That's why you have preaching. We've already heard some. Well, you didn't do anything about it, so we have to keep on preaching. All right, Beagle Hound wants to run. Number three, only 20 points here. A Beagle Hound will run by sight as far as he can, and then he'll trail the rabbit the rest of the way. You know that? Yeah, rabbit jumped up in front of him. Boy, he just chased out everything. Pretty soon, his little old legs are short, and he can't run very fast. But he's got a good nose on him. I've seen people that had the same. But anyway, he runs that rabbit by sight. And when the rabbit gets away from him, then he's got a good nose. He trails him on. He really does. Number four. A beagle will chase 500 rabbits just to catch one. Isn't that good? He will. 500 he'll chase just to catch one. And he'll be so happy he'll never sit around and grumble about them other 499 he missed. He'll just enjoy that one. Wouldn't that be interesting for you and I? I said, come on, let's go. I said to a deacon, I haven't had any deacon for years, but one time I did. One said to me one time, I said, let's go soul winning, let's go visiting. He said, Brother Page, I'll go, but it don't do a bit of good in the world. I said, it don't. I said, if you keep it going and nobody ever gets saved, it'll do you some good. You go out there and tell some sinner Jesus loved him, Christ died for him, and come on, you rascal, you, and get on your knees, and fetch your sin, get right with God. I said, it'll do you some good if he smacks you in the face. It will, too. So we can learn a whole lot from the old beagle hound, can't we? Number five, a beagle does not stop running just because he gets a tick on him. No. How many of you folks have had a beagle hound sometime? Look at that, boy. You other folks go on to sleep. Saw a beagle. Won't let the tick bother him. He'll get the tick off after he gets home. Yeah. And if he gets a briar in his foot, he don't quit running. Or if it's a bleeding, he don't see that until after he catches a rabbit or puts him in a hole. Did you notice a beagle don't always catch the rabbit? But I tell you, he chases that old rabbit so long, he either gets caught or he gets in a hole somewhere. All right? Wouldn't that be a good lesson for you and I? Yeah. Well, you see what I'm talking about? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? See, I'm just using a poor little old beagle to shoot at you with. Right? Yeah. Wouldn't it be good that I had that kind of a desire for souls? Wouldn't it now? The Bible talks about hunger and thirst. You won't ever do much, and I won't ever do much as a Christian until they begin to hungry for it. My mother used to say, I like to feed men, working men, hungry men, men that come in us that are hungry for food. So they never complain, boy, they'll fill up that plate and pass me some more. Yeah, but somebody come in and says, no, I don't like that. And no, that's not good for my stomach, and this is that. And said, boy, I don't know whether I want to feed them anymore or not. Okay, some of us are like that. Yeah, we'd like to see people get saved, but we'd like to see them come on Sunday morning at 10:30, not before that, because we can't get up too early. And we would like for them to come down and not give us much of a problem, already have it all laid out when we get here. And we just said, do you believe that Jesus is Christ, Son of the living God? Yes, I do. Said, okay, sit down over there. Okay, now we like that kind of soul win, don't we? Most people. But when you go out to somebody's home, he says, hello, what do you want? I'll come over here and talk to you about the Lord. No, we're not interested. See? See, that time he said, no, boy, I can't take much of that. But you see, the beagle, he don't know that. He never went to school. Nobody ever told him about that, so he just goes on and run. Yes, sir. And after all, the tick and the briars is not what bothers him. It's the rabbit that's what's got him. Yes, sir, boy. Yeah. Okay, number six. The beagle runs better when he's hungry. Ah, did that tell you anything? See, I got ahead of my outline now. That's what I got for having an outline. Sometimes I don't use it, but I thought since all these big-time preachers are preaching here and they all got outlines, maybe I should have one. Number six and a half. The beagle never gets discouraged. Boy, that's a good one. That ought not be put on a half, do you think? He never gets discouraged. You know what hurts most Christians and most churches? You know what it is? They get discouraged. Said, how you getting along, brother? Says, can't hardly make it. Oh, looks like we're going under. Yeah. I said, well, from the looks of you, it looks like you've already gone under. Yeah. Now, some of you are laughing and you hollering, but I'm going to tell you something. It's probably you've been through that sometime or another. We're so human that I tell you sometimes, I told a preacher the other day, I said, you know, looks, what if the Lord had forgot my address? You suppose he still know I'm around here? There's sometime if he's just right beside me, right? Well, I'm preaching and talking and singing and praying, and I'm not afraid of the devil and all his adversaries. And there's other times I look around, I thought, I can't hardly find the Lord. Where is he? Has he forgot about me? No, he hasn't forgot about me. And I'll not get discouraged. I'm going to get me a beagle hound, I think. He never gets discouraged. Number 7B, the beagle doesn't wait for the rabbit to come to him. He goes to the briar looking for him. Isn't that great? The fellow says, you know where I could go start a church where it wouldn't be so hard? I said, no, sir. No, I don't really know any. Do you? You know any place where you go in the world where sinners are that you could go and have an easy time till I start church? Oh, these 50 years I haven't found no place. Every place I go is hard. And I used to go out in evangelism. They don't ask me much now. Most churches don't want a crippled preacher to come and preach for them. But anyway, when I did, they'd say, now I'm going to tell you, Brother Faith, as soon as I get there, I don't suppose you've ever been as hard a place as this. You think I haven't been told that a number of times by preachers? I said, yes, sir, the place I came from is just like this one. Yes, it's people just mean as the devil, some of them. Hard-headed, discouraged, turned away, but there's some sweet, precious people. And there's enough of those sweet, precious ones, they encourage me to keep going to fight the others. Is that right? Amen. You folks that are present here today, you cover a lot of territory. You know, you come from various places. And where you live, round about you, there's all kinds of sinners. Good, bad, and indifferent sinners. And you know what? All this modern stuff going on don't change it a bit. People are just as wicked as the devil. They really are. Did you know sin is not any worse today than it was 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago? Sin is just the same, but it's just more people, and people got more brave with it now than it one time was. I'm an old man, and it was just about 10 years ago I ever heard of the word homosexual. I never heard of it. Never heard it mentioned. I didn't know it was in a book anywhere. But now, in our papers, it's every day on the front page saying something about it. You see, sin is being practiced, come out in the open a little bit more. Years ago, many years ago, and when I was a little lad, if I'd go to my girlfriend's house or somewhere, you know, if I'd catch a barefooted, she wouldn't answer the door. She wouldn't put her shoes on. Yeah. Sensitive of the feet. And now they aren't sensitive of any part of the body. Yeah. I see. Okay. You see, I knew I'd hit a place somewhere along there. You ever see a fella driving nails in a board trying to find where the 2x4 is? That's what I'm doing now. Okay. Fine. So then the old beagle doesn't wait for the rabbit to come to him. He goes and look him up. Yes, sir. And you know, most generally, he knows where they are. Years ago, I was in meetings, and I had a man that led singing for me, evangelistic meetings, and he had a beagle hound. That's where I learned some of this information. And he had a little girl beagle, and her name was Queen. And I tell you, she could make rabbits when there wasn't any. Yeah, that's right. You'd go out with her, she could always find a rabbit somewhere. And when you shot that rabbit down, she was just tickled to death. Boy, I just tell you, I could just read her mind almost. She says, now, I'm going to get the feet and the head, and the preacher's going to get the other part, and I'm going to get the feet and the head. But she was as happy about getting those feet and that head as I was getting the other part of it. Yeah. Oh, boy, wouldn't that be a good attitude? Some of us said, boy, if I could preach like Brother Lamb, boy, I'd preach. Well, I don't know. Whether I want to preach like him or not, he'd liable to get killed if he keeps that up. I think I'll just stay calm like me. Yeah. There are more game found in the woods in tall weeds than there are on TV. You know that? We ought to cry. And sometimes I do. Brother, I won't mention the preacher's name. I wouldn't want to. I hate to even think this, but I was in meetings with a preacher, and he says, we got to get out here at a certain time tonight, because he says, my favorite man's a boxing tonight. We got to get there on TV. Well, I don't like TV very much anyway. I like it so little that I don't own it and haven't for many years. And I don't see no place for Christians to have it unless they're going. If they ever come and have it like a Christian school where all day long they're preaching and singing and praying, I'll buy me a TV. As long as the Hollywood and all the ungodly things are going on. And you, people say, oh, but I look at the news. Yeah, but you got to look at a lot of stuff before and after if you get the news. Anybody here sell TVs? No. So the rabbit, when you lose him, he don't go look at the TV. He goes out in the woods. He goes out in the weeds. He goes out where the ticks are and the briars. Now, what would you think about you fellas that own and know about a beagle? What would you think about if you went out a hunting for rabbits? And you went down here in the valley somewhere where there's supposed to be some rabbits, and you take your beagle along, and you got your gun, and you got a modern gun with all kinds of shells, and the beagle, you said, get in there, boy, get me out a rabbit. He went in there, and you didn't hear anything about him. He didn't bark. You didn't see anything about him. And you went around that briar patch and went over on the other side, and there the beagle's over there looking at TV. Now, chances are, I think I would. I'd shoot him, wouldn't you? What do you think the Lord thinks about you and I? Now, let this soak in. Don't give this all to the beagle. You take a little of it, will you? What do you think the Lord thinks about you and I? These great men brought these great Bible sermons telling you what the Lord did and how he died on the cross for our sins. What all God did for you and I, and the Holy Spirit comes in our lives and fills us up, you know, and we got all this goodies. And then we just sat down somewhere and said, oh, that the camp go. Down old Sand Mountain, it's up there, it's liable to rain, and that's the crookedest road in the world. You might get killed down there and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, okay. But while we've been here to camp this week, thousands of people went to hell. Does that ever bother you? Sometime I wake up at night and I think, there's got to be something I got to do. What can I do? I'm on radio, writing tracks. I know best I can, but people anywhere, I never heard going to hell. Somebody ought to tell them about Jesus. Back before I got modern, we lived in a two-story house, and the telephone was downstairs, and we slept upstairs. That's a silly thing to do, isn't it? Preachers get called at night, about 12, 1 o'clock at night, my telephone rang. Says, long distance calling. Preacher on the other end of the line, and he says to me when I went down and half asleep and taking down the receiver, he said, what are you doing in bed when people are going to hell? Man, what a challenge. I said, well, it's midnight, and I've been out and drawn, talked to him. He just that away. I went back up to bed, and I couldn't go to sleep. I told my wife, she said, who was that? I said, oh, it's a preacher. What did he want? I said, you know what he said to me? He said, what in the world are you doing home asleep when people are dying going to hell? She said, my wife's sweet, and she said, well, you've been out preaching. I know, but I can't forget about it. I never have forgot about it. That's been 20 years ago. I still don't forget about it. What am I doing here? What am I doing there when people are going to hell? We act like sometimes we don't care whether people go to hell or not. Horse is no good, you trade him off, don't you?
Yeah.
But a Christian's no good, what do you do to him? Just preach to him, don't you? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Says, know ye not that which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Praise God. I'll put that in. Verse 26 says, I therefore so run, not uncertainly. See, we're not running haphazardly, are we? We know where we're going, don't we? Don't we know where we're going? Isn't that why we have the Bible? Folks says, I don't know whether I'm right or not. I don't know what church to join. I don't know whether I ought to do this, do that. I said, you get a good old dose of salvation, get your Bible out, you'll find where to go.
Amen.
You know what songs to sing. I used to go evangelist meetings, and that song leader always make me mad. He said, what are you going to preach on tonight? I feel like saying, none of your business. But he'd say, I want to get songs to go with your sermon. I said, you sing nothing but the blood when the roll is called off yonder, lean on everlasting arms. It'll fit in my sermon. I therefore so run, verse 26 says, I therefore so run not uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. There are some difference. But I keep under my body, praise God, and bring it into subjection, lest at any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It was brought out here yesterday that the preacher's any good, he'll tell his people the truth. And the people's any good, as long as the church, they'll pay attention to what the preacher says. In fact, that's why we have a preacher. He said, I don't think a preacher's any different than anybody else. Well, he ought to be in the sense that he does some things that you don't have time to do. But bless God, if you are saved, you're in the same class he is, you're going to go to heaven. And I doubt if they have a special table for the preachers when they get to heaven. Do you? I think they'll probably be with everybody else. Amen. I hope I get to sit next to Brother Goosby. Yeah. I don't know. He's not the prettiest fellow in the world, but he's a good preacher. And I love him. And he was going to egg me on today, but he preached the heart himself last night and got so hoarse he can't do it today. I love you, folks. Anything I have in the way of sermon tracts, out there at the table, you come past and let Mrs. Page talk to you. Look, give her some sympathy, will you? She's been living with me 48 years, will be. Any woman that lives with a man, a preacher especially, for 48 years ought to have something nice, don't you think? Heavenly Father, thank you for this good day you've given us. Thank you for Brother Fred, and thank you for the vision you've given him here, and then thank you, Lord, for the sweet, precious people who've come his direction. Lord, $50,000 is nothing among the hands of God. He knows where the money is. He knows where the people are. He knows where all the other things are that's needed. I pray, God, you bless his heart and bless his life, and thank you for the thousands of people being blessed through this ministry. In Jesus' wonderful, gracious, everlasting name, amen.
Amen.